Mick Kaminski, welcome to the Kieran Fox Breakfast Show. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. Nice to speak to you.
Looking forward to seeing you come and play at the Liverpool Phil, Saturday the 27th. This is the start of your new tour, which you're kicking off, isn't it? Are you excited?
It is, yes, we're very excited. It's good to see. We did a 26-date stint over here at the beginning of the year, but this is the start of the second part.
Yeah, you're kicking off in Liverpool. You're going to Scarborough, Bradford, Blackpool, London, Margate. You're going all over the place, Stoke-on-Trent, everything, aren't you?
Yeah, we're keeping busy, yeah.
Are you all set? What sort of set are you going to be playing?
Well, it'll be people are getting to hear all their old favourites, and we're going to throw in a couple of new things just to give them a trial run in front of the UK audience.
So you're working on new material, then?
It's some stuff we have played before in other parts of the world. We just got back from Mexico on Monday. We did 4 gigs down there, so we're keeping busy, and we just like to throw a couple of new things in or fresher things, you know, just to keep the old interest level nice and high.
I mean, ELO, it's a legendary band. You are a living legend. I mean, what's it like to be part of a living legend?
I'm not too sure, actually.
you eat breakfast and shave like everybody else.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Nobody around here. I live in just outside Leeds, and nobody around here would stand for any false pretensions, I don't think.
Well, I mean, you grew up in Harrogate, didn't you, originally?
Yeah, I went to school in Harrogate, lived in Knaresbury, yeah.
So how did you actually get involved with a Birmingham band?
It was, I'd moved down to London. I was playing for some shows and around various pubs and clubs trying to make a living. And then there was just an advert in the Melody Maker. It said ELO require violinists, preferably classically trained but not essential. So I ended up down in Shepherd's Bush, a little rehearsal studio. We did a couple of run-throughs down there, then we moved back up to Birmingham, which was quite a few people applied, and by process of elimination, I was offered the job.
You were the best then?
Well, hopefully.
So were you classically trained as a violinist?
I was, yes. I went to the Leeds College of Music, and they had a jazz course which was sort of running in conjunction with the classical course, or the other side of the rail, so to speak, and I started to mix with some of the jazz players, and they said, you fancy trying some electric jazz violin, so anything for a challenge, and it sort of whetted my appetite, and the classical side told me to take a bit of a back seat after that.
Because you were an inspiration to me. Do you know that?
Oh, well, I'm not quite sure what for.
Well, no, I used to play the violin.
Oh, right.
And unfortunately, much to my mother's chagrin, I ended up playing records instead.
Oh, well, I don't know.
But no, I started off. I got to, grade 7 in the long run. So, I mean, it was very inspirational to see violin being taken completely out of the classical circuit and put into sort of like progressive rock. I thought, yes, this is for me.
It is possible, yeah.
This is for me. Have you still got the blue violin?
I have. There's several versions of the past down the line, you know. Because the original one, I did fall on top a couple of times, and the pieces were sent back in a box to have it rebuilt. And it's still around. It's not in great shape. It could do with a complete overhaul. So
you'd never part with it, though?
No. It's obviously got lots of memories, and it's covered probably more miles than it's actually played notes. So.
Well, it's been with all the live sets and all the studio sets as well. What was it like being a rock star in the 70s?
It was a touch of excess tended to creep in at times, I'm afraid. And partying was sometimes got a bit out of control, but I think everybody's calmed down now like you do when you get a bit older, so it was very exciting. And I mean, when I joined ELO, I'd never been out of the country before, so first thing I knew was I was dashing around trying to get a passport, and then I was sat on a plane to Detroit, so it was
a rock and roll lifestyle.
A complete lifestyle change, you know, bar none, really.
I mean, you must have met some, I know you've worked with some fabulous people. I mean, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, Mark Bolan. Any favourite people in your mind stick out?
George was a lovely guy. I went down to his house one with Jeff, and he welcomed us with open arms, and he had an underground little boating lake, which was all lit with special lighting and stuff, and you could only take about 5 or 6 of us went down, and you could only take 2 at a time, but George didn't mind at all. He kept coming back to the start again next 2, and he jumped in, and it was a lovely evening we had down there.
Do you think that's been one of the enduring things about ELO, the fact that there's been so many contributors, co-contributors? I mean, yourself as part of that, you're you know, one of the driving forces, but I mean, also playing with you on this tour are obviously Gordon Townsend, Kelly Grocott, Lewis Clark, Phil Bates, Eric Troyer. Is that part of the success of ELO, the fact that it's ongoing, it's still a work in progress?
Yes, it probably is. I mean, I think the personal change we have had along the years, I think when somebody new comes in, it always tends to kick-start things again. Because things just always, you know, slightly change with somebody's new input and their interpretation of the way things should be and should sound kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it just helps to keep things fresh. And I think the audiences do that for us as well when we go along and see, I know, young kids from, you know, 10, 12 upwards to, you know, people in their 60s all sitting there and all seeming to gel together and make it a great night.
I get that all the time. I mean, when I do gigs in Liverpool, if I'm playing kind of like 70s tunes,
yeah,
one of which on the set has to be Don't Bring Me Down.
Right.
But, you know, some of the 70s theme bars, because you get quite a lot of those now,
uh-huh.
The average age group in there is about 25, something like that.
Yeah.
You think to yourself, wow, this is great. Did you like the homage that Take That did to Mr. Blue Sky in Shine?
Well, it was never officially acknowledged, was it? Was it ever officially acknowledged as a homage to Mr. Blue Sky?
I suppose not, but I mean, it was very, very Mr. Blue Sky, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot of people said to me they thought it was us, basically. But it's a great tune, and it's he's certainly got the knack of writing a commercial hit, as old Gary. So. I mean, good luck to him. And
I just wondered how you took to it, you know.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I think if it was imitation, you take it as a compliment. I think anybody that can be influenced by somebody else is always pretty complimentary.
Form of flattery, isn't it? Do you have a particular work in the back catalogue that you think, yeah, I really, really love doing that?
I think Mr. Blue Sky always stands out because it's such a great track live, and we've tagged the bit on at the end, the... Well, it comes back into the sort of stomping sort of bit at the end, and it always goes down fantastically at gigs, so there's got to be very fond memories around that tune.
Is that going to be in the set?
Oh, of course, yeah. We'd get lynched if we didn't play that.
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, I mean, you can rattle off the hits, aren't you? I mean, you're just like Living Legends, number ones that you've had, 11 top 10 albums, 27 top 20 hits, Don't Bring Me Down's another one of my favourites, Sweet
right.
Talking Woman, Diary of Horace Wimp. I'll tell you one of my real personal favourites, which might surprise you. I don't know, maybe it won't. Here is the news.
Right, yes. Yeah, back in, I think it was 82, I think it was a Time album,
wasn't it?
That's
it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good track. We don't play it live anymore, but it was when Jeff went through sort of getting away from the string sound a bit and going more into the electronic kind of era. And the Time album was a big hit in Europe especially, and America. It wasn't such a big hit, I mean, it did okay, but it was... I think that the German audience and the Scandinavians, they seem to really take it under their wing somehow.
I must be quirky then, in which case.
you must have some Scandinavian blood in there somewhere.
Who came up with the idea for the spaceship, the iconic spaceship?
It was Don Arden back in the late 70s. I mean, he always had his eye on trying to outdo everybody else. And I think when he came up with that, he pretty much succeeded because... as far as a live set went at that time, it was pretty much ahead of its time.
I have a feeling that ZZ Top took some kudos from that with their Eliminator. You know, they had the car and then they kind of like turned it into a spaceship and that kind
right.
of stuff, you know. It's a particularly iconic image though, isn't it? Is it going to be viewable on the tour?
No, I'm afraid it went to the scrap heap in the sky a long time ago. I'm not quite sure where it ended up, to be honest. it used to take so much moving about. I think I've forgotten how many of the big American trucks we used to use. I think there was about... I think in the region of 8 of them, just to transport the actual set.
Mm.
So, because it had hydraulic lifts in, which didn't always work, I hasten to add. And obviously, with the lid lifting up and the lasers and all the lighting, it was... at one point, we had to do an A show and a B show, whereby the spaceship had time to be transported and set up while we were going to play somewhere else. But when news of that got out, the B show people weren't very impressed. They sort of... thought they were getting a rough deal.
So what are you going to be doing on the build-up towards the tour itself? I mean, we know it kicks off here in Liverpool, which is fabulous in the Capital Culture Year, Saturday 27th of September at the Philharmonic Hall. What are you doing as you kind of like build-up towards that?
We've got a bit of a break, actually. We just got back from Mexico on Monday, and I'm also doing some another project with Phil the guitarist. We're doing a thing called Beatles Blues and Blue Violin, which is, funnily enough, he's coming to the Cavern later in the year.
Really? Say that again, and when is it?
Yeah, let me have a look on the, I was just looking at the date when you found, right, it's the Cavern, it's on November the 15th.
November the 15th, and yeah, it's called?
It's called Beatles Blues and Blue Violin.
And it's you?
Just me and Phil, we do kind of some jazzy versions of some Beatles things, some bluesy things. It's just something, you know, to be, make a bit of a change, really.
That's real grassroots stuff, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we've got another gig tomorrow down in Leek, and it's still a bit rehearsal in progress, but I think we've only done one gig so far, an acoustic festival down the Midlands. And, yeah, it's fun. It gives the brain a bit of a jolt.
Exactly. Mick, you are a gentleman of the industry. You know this, don't you? Well, you're also a legend. That's a little bit of insider information as well. Thanks for that about the Cavern gig.
You're very
too.
Welcome.
But really, well, I mean, we want to come and support that. We want to come and see that. And we also definitely want to come down and see you on Saturday, the 27th of September. I keep getting that plug in there, you see?
Yes, I hope you do.
For the Liverpool Phil. So it's Saturday, the 27th of the Liverpool Phil. The orchestra starring the former members of the Electric Light Orchestra and ELO Part 2 members. I can't wait to see this.
Right, well, I hope you bring lots of friends with you and have a great night, really.
Oh, we'll bring the family, yeah. half a million people across the northwest and North Wales. Yeah, it might be, mightn't it? Mick, it's been a pleasure talking to you, an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being on the show this morning.
Okay, you're very welcome. Thanks, Kieran.
Thank you.
Cheers, then.